Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show all about embarrassing stories. We tell our embarrassing stories. We tell your embarrassing stories. Sometimes you call up and tell your own, and we love that the most. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and of course, bring some levity to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week? I definitely get you. That's a...
no delay. I beat you.
I did it. Yeah.
Katie, well, I was sick this week, but I don't talk about it. So I'll tell you what just happened.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you were sick. I did know that because we do talk outside of the podcast.
I know. Down for the count. But I'm much better. And I went
I'm
to
glad
the,
you're better.
We are friends. I swear to God. I went to the Ice Out of Everywhere protests, and I was racing to get here because I was it's 85 degrees here. I'm sorry, planet, but like it's really cold. I'm really, really hot. And I was just drenched in sweat. And I driving here so fast because I thought I was going to be late. So I got even more drenched in sweat. So there's another drowned rat story from
feeling
MK
like a drowned
week.
Rat today.
Just and so I changed.
Well, you
in
look
my
beautiful.
Car.
You can't
well,
tell.
I changed in my car.
Oh,
and so
nice.
Then I'm changing and I look up and I see a camera. And it's right outside of this studio. So sorry. Sorry, Project LA. But I.
Oh, somebody is going to get a
no,
show
it wasn't
later.
That. It was nowhere near the studio. Okay. I would never do that.
Bounchicka wow.
So yeah,
well,
that's
I will
that's
take
it.
Your heat and I will raise you there because here it is freezing and we are on the cold streak. I told you last week, they had predicted that it was going to be like the coldest streak since 1989, and we're there. Like, it snowed last Sunday, and we got about 4 inches, and it was fun. We built a snowman.
Oh,
we got
yay.
To do that. Sebastian, you know, got to throw snowballs at his dad and have a lot of fun. I was like, no snowballs at me.
I was going
to
say, not at you. Okay.
And he did that. I was like, nope. Not me.
You're
they
like,
all go to your
I'll
dad.
I'll change the locks.
They all go to your dad. And they did. And it was so fun and cute. But then it hasn't melted because it's frozen here. It is so cold. So, like, it turned into a bunch of ice. And, like, we didn't shovel the whole driveway. And it's just, like, it's now, like, not cute anymore. And tomorrow, today was, I think, 12 degrees. And tomorrow is supposed to be... I think 7 or 8 degrees is the low, and it says feels like -7. I'm like,
oh,
excuse
no,
me,
can't go outside.
Excuse me, I do not live in the Arctic. Like, what has happened?
So cold.
No,
for
it's brutal.
You.
I take Toby out to walk him, and I'm like, ugh.
Does Toby like, just I'm, like run back inside?
He's fine because he, for the first time, I think I talked about this before, but like he's held on to all of his fur that he never did in LA. He shed constantly everywhere. He doesn't shed anymore. He's like so thick and fluffy because he's held on
it.
To everything. So he's like not shedding. So he's fine. He loves it. He runs out there. He has the best time. But yeah, I'm like, it's cold. Like
I picture
I
him
like
now
that there's seasons, but
like
it's
a sheepdog.
This is real cold.
Oh yeah.
It's real
it's
cold right now.
It's too cold. So what are you
it's
doing? How are you coping? Do you have a
I mean, we're staying inside mostly. I've had to go out for certain things and Sebastian has 2 soccer games tomorrow, so we'll go out for that.
You're
going to
be
indoors.
Outside watching a soccer
no,
game?
No, no, no. They're indoors. They don't have outdoor soccer right now, but okay, yeah, it's you know, we're getting a little stir crazy in here too. It's getting a little crazy around these parts.
You kept your electricity. Electricity has stayed
oh,
on.
Oh yeah, no, we didn't have any outages or anything like that. Like the bad storm didn't hit us. And I guess today, Mirage's aunt sent us video from Tennessee where she lives and they got like feet of snow. Like yep. It's crazy. And their dog's running around out there, but they're like loving it because it doesn't snow there very often, you know, so
well,
it's exciting.
My friend in Nashville has his power knocked out for 4 days.
And he
was like cooking over his gas fireplace.
I got to check in on my
That's
Nashville
story,
friends.
Honey,
I didn't
actually.
Hear their power went out. That's terrible.
Yeah, it's, yeah, for 4 days. I'm like, what did you do then? He said that he took a really cold shower and just, like, he couldn't drive because it's all ice. Everything's iced over. It's an ice storm. It's crazy.
No, I would just be dirty at that point. I'm not taking a freezing cold shower. That
no,
sounds like hell. That sounds horrible.
That sounds like going outside and rolling in the snow, you know?
Yeah, like the cold Naked. Plunge people and the people who, like, go out in the snow and they're like, oh, it's so invigorating. I'm like, absolutely not. I hate being cold. Like I love when it's, I mean, even like 20 degrees, fantastic. Like I can, you know, get dressed up and layer and it's cute. But when it's like, feels like -7, no thank
you. You do do a family cold. Hide and seek. You should play a lot of card games, you know.
Just yeah.
Bring it to the old school.
We've been watching so much TV. It's ridiculous.
What
do
you see?
We watched Fallout. Have you seen Fallout?
No.
It's so good.
I've heard it's amazing.
Yeah, with Walton Goggins.
Yes.
Is that his name? I always want to say Walter. Everybody does. Yeah, Walton Goggins. He's so phenomenal in everything that he does.
I know. White Lotus. Oh, so good. So good.
And I just realized, too, the lead girl in that, I was like, why do I know her? Because she looked so different. She's from
Yellow Jackets. Damn. I was like, Bumblebees.
She's from Bumblebees. She's from Yellow Jackets. Yeah, the cheerleader.
Right.
Where she was blonde and she like, she just looked really different. So, but she's great.
She's a great actress.
Yeah, it's so good. And I'm watching Undone. Have you seen Undone?
No.
Yeah, that's really good too. It's kind of a weird thing, and I guess I won't give it too much away, but it's kind of like timeline shifting realities, like family dramas. It's really fascinating, and it's actually cool animation how they shot it. I don't know exactly the process that they did, but it looks like they shot it with the actors and then sort of did this like animation overlay over the top.
Cool.
It's really cool, yeah.
That is cool. I'm watching Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Have you seen it? Have you seen
it? I started that too.
It's so good. There's only two episodes, yeah.
It is so good. I love that too. I know, like I said, I've been watching like way too much TV because we've been cooped up inside.
Actors. There's so many amazing actors out there. And I'm so glad we're in this golden age of TV and film that's been going on for a decade now, two decades, because you really see people come in and they do it. They blow you away and then they disappear and then they pop up over here and you're like, whoa, this person's blowing me away again. And I didn't recognize them. It's so cool. I love how talented people are. I like that.
I know. And speaking of, I'm still devastated over Catherine O'Hara. Like that was just such a gut punch yesterday. It's just unbelievable. I've been like crying nonstop, just watching videos of her and like post that Macaulay Culkin did with the two of them, like, you know, in Home Alone when he was a kid. And then I think like last year or a couple years ago when they like met up.
And Viola Davis
gut-wrenching.
Posted this sort of montage that has the Barbie theme song.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I cried. But here's the thing. I think Catherine O'Hara made me realize, like, I wish I could have been her. I forgot she was mortal.
What a phenomenal talent. I know.
You know what I mean? I was like, she's just going to be here forever.
Yeah, it did not. That was a really shocking one. It really was.
It was awful.
And I know I talked about on the podcast before, like, you don't approach celebrities in LA, and she is one of the only celebrities that I ever approached. She came to Taroni, like,
she
probably
so
18
nice.
Years ago when I was waiting tables there, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I just have to tell you that I love you so much, and I'm such a big fan, and I just love all your movies, and I just think you're so talented, and, like, I just have to say that, and, like,
you're like, and pizza's on us, and we're taking care of your bill, and I'm sending you champagne.
And she was so sweet and so gracious and just like, oh my gosh, like, thank you. Like, so like, oh, like, thank you. Like, she didn't want all the praise, you know, but what a talent.
She's
and
a treasure.
Devastating. A treasure. Like, that was, I mean, Diane Keaton and then her. It's just.
It's too much. It's like, come
it's
on.
It's too much. It's
Can
too
these
much.
People just be immortal, like the fairies in my book?
I mean, they will be, though, through their work. And that is one thing that is really cool, you know? Like, they are immortalized through their amazing talent, and their work will live on forever, and our children's children can watch it, you know, and that's really cool. But
John and I, my husband, are having a date night tonight, and we're going to watch Waiting for Guffman because it's my favorite Catherine O'Hara
performance. Yes,
I mean,
that's one of my favorites too. She's
blows
phenomenal.
Me away in it.
I love that movie.
God, I love her. Okay, well, should we just laugh? Can we just try to laugh, please?
Yeah, so we're going to really laugh it off. That's where we're here. That was literally what she did and what we can thank her for. Her humor.
Watch
her entire
stories
life.
Are just like not funny at all this week. We're like, so in her honor, we're all gonna have.
We're gonna tell you the worst stories you've
laughter.
Ever heard. Well,
all right,
hopefully
you
like
off,
them,
girl.
Okay, you want me to kick us off?
Get
I
it.
Will do it. Okay,
get the field goal.
All right, my first story is anonymous, and they write. It was the eighth grade. We had the school sports day. I'm like, the school sports day. That's so funny.
That's like something
I was never as a kid good at sports. I finished absolutely dead last in running, cycling, and almost all the other events. After I'd humiliated myself in front of the whole school for almost an hour or two, our sports teacher announced it was time for shot put. I suddenly thought.
Time for what?
Shot put. You know, like the shot put?
What is that?
You don't know what shot put is?
No.
You take like the metal ball in your hand and you have to like launch it as far as you can.
Like the Olympics?
like shot put. Robin did that. Our friend Robin, who did our logo, who we love. He did shot put in high school. He did shot put. He was like really good at it. He
now
did.
I know
yeah.
What you're
you have to like,
about.
You like took the like, yeah, you took like, take like the heavy
Do you,
like, metal
take
ball.
You take it on your shoulder and, to turn around? And,
yes.
Like,
you like
times
are supposed
ball.
To like launch it. As far as you can into this like sand pit, and they measure like how far you get it.
Oh my gosh. And so you're channeling your ancestors that like were trying to defend castles and stuff with like
triathlon ancestors, I guess.
Oh, sure.
I suddenly thought, this is my time to shine. I've thrown a shot put before, and I was pretty decent. I just wanted to salvage some pride and go home with my head held high. I got the last throw out of almost 10 kids. I walked to the spot. The teacher had the mic in his hand, asked me a few questions about my shot put history and how far I expected my shot put to land.
Sorry, every time you say shot put, it's so funny. I don't know why.
Shot put. I know, it is funny.
Who thought of that? Who thought of that name?
That name, shot put. It's, I know, like, what does that even mean?
What do we
mean?
Call this? It's a shot put, whatever, go on.
You'd think it'd be like shot throw or ball, like, shot.
It should be like a ball throw. Shot.
Ball throw.
Ball, no, like a cannon put. What about that? Because they're kind of like, look like cannons, right? Cannon shot.
I think I can help out here. That would be a cannonball for 500, Alex.
Yeah, I don't even know why it's called that. It's very weird when you stop and think about it. But anyway, this kid is ready, okay?
Yes.
I answered saying that I expected to finish second or third out of the 10 kids. He handed me the shot put and walked away. I got ready. I took the putt in my hand, and okay. I shot putt. I took, is that what it's called? Oh, it's called a putt.
You
it's
just say a putt? Real putt. I shot the putt.
I took the putt in my hand. Is that what it's called? The ball's a putt? Okay,
hey,
I guess that's why.
I don't know, because I've never heard
putt.
Of this. Okay.
You're shooting the putt, I guess.
No, that's,
I
mean, just, let's
shot putt, an athletic contest where a very heavy round ball is thrown as far as possible.
I don't know. That's what it's.
I love it. Do it.
Okay, I took the putt in my hand, and I got in position to throw it. I took the ball. Now he says took the ball, so. I took the ball. I got ready and mustered all of my strength to throw it. And as I was throwing it, I ripped the loudest fart anyone has ever heard.
No.
And on top of that, the shot put ball landed hardly a foot from where I was standing. he threw it with all his might that he expelled a fart, and it just went right onto the ground. Needless to say,
perfect.
Everyone started laughing, including the teacher. I didn't say anything, and I just ran away. I couldn't attend school for over a week after that incident. This is one of the most embarrassing moments anyone can suffer, and I was the lucky one who got to experience
it. I'm so sorry for you, my friend. And I know that embarrassment feels, you feel that to your core. It is extremely funny. And
I'm just picturing like Napoleon Dynamite, like throwing it and farting and just running away with like his arms down, like because the kid like just runs away and doesn't come back for a week. I love it. He's like, and I'm out.
There's something so funny about, you know, how much we invest in that one moment of sports. We're like, okay, is she going to do the flip? But then before she launches into the flip, she just farts and then like kind of does a little like tumble. You know, it's funny. It's so funny. I love that. That's why we're here. It's like, it's not a big deal. It's so funny. It's happened to all of us during shot put. I just think it's funny. That was a really good one. Okay. So this one's from Reddit, and Mikey Jam Jams writes, probably my supervillain origin story. So he writes, I've wanted to do a triathlon for a long time, but I have never been a strong swimmer. As a gift one year for Christmas, my wife decided to get me swimming lessons. I was stoked. I showed up for lessons, and when it was time to start, the instructor blows a whistle and calls for my class. Unfortunately, myself, along with several children between the ages of 8 and 10, stroll over to begin class. For context, I'm in my mid-30s. So this guy's who's in my class? And it's like 8 to 10-year-olds just like walking up next to this like grown adult. The poor instructor, looking very uncomfortable, asked for my name. I gave it to her and was indeed on the list.
Does that even happen? That shouldn't be allowed.
She then followed up with, how did you find this class? I've never had this happen before. I, for sure, have never felt so humiliated, embarrassed, and horrified in my life. I couldn't even give the teacher a good answer because my wife set everything up and didn't share any information other than the time and the name of the class.
You just blame it on her.
I know. After consulting with others, the instructor said I could stay, and I said to myself, fuck it, why not? At this point, I didn't have anything to lose. I already hit the lowest point of my life and didn't think it could get any more embarrassing. Oh, I mean, I guess he was really embarrassed. I was also so mad at my wife that I felt like sticking it out just to spite her because I knew that anyone else would have immediately left. That night, when I got home and told my wife what happened, she laughed at me for 45 minutes straight. and said she swore she thought it was an adult class. I mean, this just sounds like a little bit like a, maybe it was intentional.
That's pretty funny.
What's worse is that I was wrong. It did get more embarrassing. I stuck out all 6 weeks of lessons only to fail because I
couldn't.
He failed because he couldn't do the breaststroke. I think I still have my report card somewhere.
Wait,
nowadays,
10 weeks of lessons with 8-year-olds and he couldn't get
I
it?
Couldn't do the breaststroke, which is like the easiest stroke, right?
Oh, no.
Maybe it's one of the easiest. I don't know. Nowadays, this is my wife's favorite story to tell. At every party, she loves to retell this story, hooting and hollering with our friends over my embarrassment. I don't think this is going very well for those two. One of our friends even got me some rubber ducky swim trunks I could wear to class. As for me, to this day, I still despise the breaststroke. I hate its inefficiency, and I boycott watching it at the Olympics. I also spend a lot of time plotting revenge.
That's really funny. Oh, yeah.
I know.
I would be the person that if that happened to me, yes, I would walk away. I would not stay even out of spite.
Well, you're in your bathing suit and you're looking around. There's like 8-year-olds around you.
Yeah,
no thanks. You're not the teacher.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Turn around.
Yeah. Time to go back to the locker room.
Okay, my next story comes from Cora, and Candy Cook writes, "My father was a prankster and always one step ahead of me my whole life. Before I figured this out, I believed a story he told me, and I got into trouble because of it. Let me share my embarrassment with you. My dad had a thing for eating ice and was very picky about the water used to create it. When I was 10 years old, over 35 years ago, he caught me using tap water instead of sparklets to make ice in his plastic ice cube trays," which I think
oh
is so funny. I'm like,
God.
She's in charge of making his ice.
I know.
"He took me aside and with a very serious face, he explained why it was extremely important not to use tap water to make ice. He brought his glass that had ice in it a few hours ago, which had already melted. At the bottom of that glass were white particles and sediment, and he swirled them around to make sure I saw them. He said, 'Do you know what that is?' I said, 'No.' My dad said, 'That is how I know you didn't use the right water to make my ice. The floating things are amoeba and protozoa.' I was shocked. I'd never heard of either one."
What?
My dad said, "Those are dangerous bacteria and they can kill you. So make sure you never use tap water again." I didn't want to kill my dad, so this story really stuck with me, and I went out of my way to use the right water to make ice for him. Now, flash forward a few years later when I was a freshman starting high school in my first biology class.
Oh, no.
Teacher was
your dad's
a mean...
going down. Science is taking your dad down.
The teacher was a mean, but it is so funny because I think we've all had that those moments where either our parents have lied to us or we've heard some crazy urban myth that we swear is true and you will double down and fight to the death for it until 100%. You're like humiliated. Okay. The teacher was a mean German man who requested we call him Dr. Mertz. Dr. Mertz acted like he hated young people. He seemed to be angry all the time and in a hurry to finish class. So he starts his lecture on the amoeba and protozoa. He said they were microscopic and couldn't be seen by the human eye. I shot my hand up. Dr. Mertz said, "No questions until I finish my lecture." I refused to take my hand down and continued waving it at him until he finally called on me and I told him he was wrong and he had no idea what he was talking about.
She's like, "Listen, doc."
He's like, she's like, "My dad, he knows. You're wrong, okay?"
He's like, my ice tray was dirty and my dad showed me the dirt.
The whole class was stunned and remained silent as if I was about to be murdered in front of them. I thought I had this in the bag. I was going to show him up. He thought he knew everything. And I was sure in this situation, I knew more than the good old doctor.
I love this.
I said, "My dad can see amoeba and protozoa, and I know because he showed them to me." The teacher was not amused and decided to ignore me and continue his lecture. When I stopped him again to tell him, "My dad has seen them many times," I stood my ground and I would not let him finish until he corrected his lecture.
What?
When the bell rang, Dr. Mertz said everyone can go except for Miss Cook and her amoeba-seeing father. He called me to his desk and said he didn't appreciate my attempting to make him look bad in front of the class. He demanded that I bring my amoeba-seeing father to his desk after school that day or face a week of detention for lying.
This guy is not great.
I also love that she's like, you're wrong. Yeah. My dad saw them. He's like, okay, great. Then bring your dad here.
He's like, we're moving on. I just said that a second ago. There's a whole nother rest of the lecture here. She's just like,
no problem. I said, piece of cake. So I went home and I brought my father back to back up my story and get me out of that week of detention. I left the room while they talked. My dad walked out and told me he would see me later. I was confused. What just happened? Didn't he tell my teacher that I was telling the truth? No, he didn't. So instead of 1 week of detention with Dr. Mertz, I got 3 for the inconvenience and the time wasted in class. I could not believe it. My dad had the biggest laugh at home at my expense. My teacher had me explain how I was wrong to the entire class than once. I was so embarrassed.
This is too much. Her dad went in there and the teacher was like, so do you actually believe that you can see protozoas? And he's like, no, my daughter's crazy.
Yeah, he's like, what are you talking about? I never said that. What?
Also, why are you having your daughter make your ice?
I know. Make your own ice.
I'd say do it yourself. I'm on strike.
But I think that is so funny that he literally went in there and he's just like cracking up and he's like, yeah, I don't know what she got.
That is so embarrassing.
She's lying again. She's always lying.
I mean, like, I wonder if she goes home and like pees in his ice tray and is like,
I hope she did.
I know.
Take my amoeba and protozoa, bitch.
I mean, that is so, you know? that the story, it just magnifies like adults as being like not great. Like
sometimes they're not.
The teacher who's like pretending like he's at a Harvard like lecture studio for what, like an eighth grader? Did she say she was in eighth grade?
I think so. But like all parents have lied to us for sure. I mean, I've done it to my son. I remember when he was like 3 or 4, I was like, ring, ring, I got Santa on the line. You better behave yourself.
But that's for magic.
But you know what I mean? It's like everybody's done it. But yeah, there are, you know, some things. Like I remember when I was a kid too, hearing like, did you hear the thing about like praying mantis? Like you can't kill praying mantis. They're like endangered and it's illegal to kill a praying mantis. That was like a huge like rumor that spread around this area for sure. But you hear those things that you're like, oh no. And I remember like, you know, not even that long ago, I'm like, oh no, you can't ever kill a praying mantis. Not that I would anyway, I think they're great, but that was like something that stuck with me. And I like actually go to look it up and that's not true at all. It's like a weird urban legend that got spread. Like, you know, like these weird urban legends just get spread and you just believe it. And then you go on to tell other people and you spread it and it's not true.
It's not true. I just can't believe her dad threw her under the bus. That's just, gosh, you got to break out of that house, that ice, that like, you know, ice chore house. That's good though. My sister once told me that she wrote a song that she was singing one day. I'm like, that's gorgeous. And then we sang it in my chorus class. And I remember being like, my sister wrote this. And the lady was like, the author is on the music. Look down. And I was like, I like knew.
They're like, that's Celine Dion. Okay. That was not your sister.
It's Madonna. Okay.
That is so funny though. Like, I love it. But that's what I mean. Like, we all get told those like lies and you just believe it. You're like innocent and sweet. And you're like, oh my God, those are amoeba and protozoa. Whoa. Like, I've never heard of that. Like,
I know.
Crazy. I'll never put tap water in there again. I promise.
Yeah. Only pee from here on out, Dad.
I hope so.
Okay. So this is from Ron McLeod from West Virginia. Thanks for writing, Ron. And he writes, when I was 19, my friends from college and I went on a trip to Blue Ridge Mountains for spring break. Our plans included all kinds of cool outdoorsy stuff like hikes, waterfall dives, and ropes courses. It was going to be a week of communing with nature and broing down. One afternoon, late in the trip, one of my friends suggested we go bungee jumping. He'd found a place that offered it, so we eagerly headed out there that afternoon. On the way, we stopped for some barbecue. I pounded half a rack of ribs because I thought it would be a bad idea to eat a full rack of ribs and then go bungee jumping.
Smart.
a little foreshadow. When we got to the bungee jumping place, I volunteered to go first. The jump was over a pretty large ravine in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And while I don't have a problem with heights, I did have a bit of vertigo when I looked out over the wide open space in front of me. but there was no way I was going to back out. So I got into the harness and strapped in. Taking a deep breath, I leapt out into the great wide open. That's the end of the story.
Oh, just kidding. Wonderful.
At first, the sensation of free falling was exhilarating. If you'd ever been bungee jumping or skydiving, you know the feeling I'm talking about. But then, almost immediately, my stomach went from a gurgle to a burp to a full-on projectile vomit into what seemed like an instant.
Ew.
I don't really know what happened after that, but when I set foot back on solid ground, I somehow managed to get vomit in my hair, on my shirt, down the back of my pants, and in my shoes.
Ah, yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I was like, wait, if you're puking like on the way down and then you're coming back
you get sucked back up into your own barf. The guy who ran the bungee jumping place said he'd never seen anything like it. It turns out the quantity of ribs I ate didn't really make any difference.
Now I want ribs, but also gross.
Ew! You're like, now I want vomit, but also ribs.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, gross.
Okay. My next story is anonymous, and she writes, several years ago, my husband took a new job and therefore we had to move. We purchased our first home in a city that was brand new to both of us. It was all very exciting with a new home and neighborhood, and I was hopeful to make friends. We tried introducing ourselves to our neighbors, and I even brought over baked goods, but our neighbors ended up being pretty standoffish. I was disappointed, but figured we didn't need to be best friends, and I let it go. After a couple of months of living there, we noticed that our neighbors had really warmed up to us. They began dropping off their own baked goods, and everyone was extending invitations to their house for double dates, drinks, and game nights. We suddenly felt like the most popular couple in the neighborhood. I wasn't sure why there was a sudden change of heart, and something about the exchanges felt odd, but I was grateful to be making some new friends. One night, we went to dinner, and as we were driving back home, I noticed our bedroom window from the street, and suddenly everything clicked into place. Horrified, I smacked my husband's arm and said, "Look, they can see everything. We've been putting on a show for our neighbors." My husband likes to make love with the lights on. It's never been my preference, as I'm quite shy, but I oblige him. The windows in our bedroom extended almost to the floor, and I realized just then that the blinds did not fully cover the bed portion. You could see everything in our room, and I mean everything. Oh, we didn't realize from our perspective in the room that we were putting on a show for the neighbors. I was so humiliated and also nervous that we had unwittingly invited the whole neighborhood into our nighttime activities. It seemed like we had a few people that really enjoyed the show and maybe wanted to take part in a swinging good time. We made sure the blinds were fully lowered and lights were off after that. I didn't take any neighbors up on their offers for double dates.
That's what they were doing. They were like, "You want to go out to dinner with me and my husband?" And maybe
yeah, they're like, "Hey, you guys want to come over for some drinks later?
I've seen your boobs. Do, do, do,
do, do. I've seen your everything. I've seen it all.
I've seen it all.
I have seen it all.
That is really embarrassing.
But like two months, they didn't realize, and then they just were like, "Oh shit!"
I feel like I'm very aware of the whole. Of all my space. Like if there's a blind that's not hitting the ground and I see any window, there's not going to be, you know what I mean? Like I'm not going to notice that.
I know. But I don't know. I guess maybe the perspective of where they were seeing it. I don't know. I don't know the angles or whatever, but that's pretty funny.
Embarrassing and so hilarious. That was a good one. I love that one.
That's how you make friends with your neighbors.
That's why you roll out the red carpet.
That's how you do it. Some people bring cookies. Some people show the cookie. That's how you do it.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. This one's from Reddit, and Cat Bastard writes, I love that name, Cat Bastard. I was in high school and we had a prize giving ceremony during school assembly. My name gets unexpectedly called out, so I make my way to the front of the hall to collect my prize. I'm almost at the front when I have a sudden crisis of confidence, and I think that I must have misheard them. And there is no way that they called my name. So I turn around, walk back to my chair, and sit back down. My friends are all looking at me and ask me what the hell I'm doing, and they tell me to get back up there to collect my prize. So I get back up, walk all the way up to the front, and then have another crisis of confidence and think that my friends must have been messing with me.
Oh my
gosh. So I turn around and walk back to my chair and sit back down. The hall is silent and the teachers on stage are just like looking at me like I'm from another planet.
Yeah, what are you doing? Go get your stuff.
So that was just a little quickie, but I thought it was so funny. Just the idea of like this teacher's like ready to give you this award and then they see you just be like, no, 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 no. They didn't vote for me. No, no, no. And you go back and they're like, what do you do? And then you get back
like
all the way back up.
They're calling their name, right?
Okay, you prankster. And then they like, again, he's like, who do I think I am? What's some famous person? I gotta sit back down. No one voted for me. It just it like personifies, you know, the terror you feel in middle school.
That's humility right there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, right? People are like, they're so humble. They don't believe in trophies.
They don't believe in it. Okay, so I have two more because I have one quickie again, like last week. Okay, so my next one comes from Cora, and Colette writes, when I was 18, I toured in a children's musical adaptation of Beauty and the Beast. We would play huge Broadway-style theaters. Schools all over the area would bus in children, giving us a crowd of thousands to perform for in the morning. I'm like, wow, dude. At 18, awesome. Like, nice.
Yeah.
I played Hydrangea, Beauty's sister, who I believe was unique to this particular adaptation.
I was gonna say, I've never heard of her.
Yeah.
She did not make the cut of the Disney film.
Nope. I doubled as a dancing flower, which was like the adaptation version of the dancing teacups in Be Our Guest. I got my period in the middle of the show, right as I changed into my dancing flower costume. None of the other women had any feminine products, so I did the good old toilet paper hack. I figured it would be okay to get through the next half hour of the show. My dancing flower costume consisted of green tights with the upper half of my body as the flower. My arms could open and close the flower while my head was at the center. As I was dancing, I suddenly saw a blur of white. Somehow, my extreme, quickly rolled makeshift toilet paper mini pad crept out of my tights and flew about 6 feet in the air and landed at the front of the stage of thousands of kids.
Why? Why does this happen?
I was panicked and mortified. I spent the rest of the dance number approximating how long it would take me to run up and grab it. As I was doing the choreography, I kept calculating it all in my head. The choreography was highly synchronized, and if one flower had a misstep, it could throw off the entire team of dancing flowers.
So
I waited until the number was over. I ran to the front of the stage and grabbed my makeshift maxi pad and ran off the stage so embarrassed. None of my fellow dancers saw it, thank God. My stage manager did, but had no idea what it was. If anyone in the audience saw it, they thankfully didn't mention anything at the meet and greet afterwards.
That is like, so awkward.
It's so traumatizing.
Awful. I thought that flower was going to start because she was so obsessed with her, you know, the pad that fell in front of everyone that she was going to like throw off the whole line. You know,
I know how do you keep your concentration? And she's like, okay, and one, and two, and three. She's like, okay, if I were on
five,
right
six,
now,
seven,
I can't
and
go.
Five,
she's
and two,
be our and guest,
be our
guest,
and
to service to the test. She's like, I got to get up there and run and grab this pad. Like, when do I grab this pad now? I've got to get this pad before everyone sees me. What the hell do I do? It is on the stage right now.
Oh my God. I loved it. I want to see that musical.
With her flowers. It's
Katie,
so
you got the goods. You better
but
write
I
that.
I think I would just run off the stage and not get the pad because then you're like being like, that was definitely my pad. Even though you know a few people out of the thousands saw it come flying up out of her tights
out of her
and
tights.
Landing there. I would just be like, that's not mine. Goodbye. And it's probably filmed if there's thousands of people too.
Oh yeah.
There
and
has
probably
to be a film
by now
copy.
Someone has zoomed in on it on the stage and just been like, what is that? And it's
yeah, we can probably find
Insta.
It on YouTube somewhere now from yeah, 2002 oh or whenever it was.
That was so funny. Be our guest, my pad is living on this stage. Like, I gotta get up there, but still doing the choreography like perfect.
I know. Like, oh, wow.
That's
impressive.
Amazing.
I would definitely amazing. Be thrown off and freaking out at
I
that
would
point.
I would like body check my fellow dancers.
I would have Ashley Simpson just jigged off the stage at that point. Like, that's the level that I would have been
Why?
Able to handle it. Just the Ashley Simpson jig off the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that's what I would have done.
Simpson. I remember
so
that.
Bad.
Oh, yeah, so
oh everybody
good
remembers
reference.
That. That was, oof. Yikes.
Because she was caught lip syncing, right?
Yeah, they started without her and the whole thing was playing and she wasn't doing anything. And then she was like, and then just started her jig and like went off the stage. It was so bad.
Oh, no, I got to go watch
God love her.
Tonight, yeah. Tonight. Okay,
tonight.
This is my last story and it is also from Reddit. And Emotional Elevator 806 writes,
oh,
my this is kind of sad, but I think it's I just feel like it's a really special story. Okay.
Okay.
So bear with me. My husband thinks Valentine's Day is silly and he refuses to participate. That's
Aww.
It. Just kidding. Which is fine. I think it's a cute, fun little holiday, but whatever. I don't get my hopes up for flowers or anything special.
Mm.
Well, I get home from work on Valentine's Day this year, and he says to me, hey, go look on the table. I got you something. I got excited like, oh, he actually got me something that's so sweet. No, there was a bag of flour on the table.
What?
An already open bag of flour we had in the pantry that I bought a few days ago.
That's my dog in the background. Sorry. Yeah, that he's like,
Toby's like, that. Toby's like, what a dick. Yeah. It actually hurt my feelings a lot and I cried a little bit.
Wait, but why did he do that?
Well,
does he give his reasoning?
I'll tell you. He felt really bad about his shitty joke and apologized a lot. So that was. It was a joke.
How is that a joke?
Well, okay.
Like,
so.
I got you flowers. Like, that's the joke. Like, I got you flower.
It, Katie. That's exactly it. I didn't even pick that up. Yeah, I got you flower.
That's so shitty. Well, there better have been a diamond ring in that flower, you bitch. That's so shitty. I don't care about Valentine's Day, to be honest.
She better bake that shit in a cake and choke
on
it.
But, like, if you do and your partner knows that, like, I hope you broke up with his ass. Because that is so, like, that's so shitty.
It starts with my husband, so I don't think she broke it. So anyway, she writes, I'm a baker, so getting me flour could have actually been super cute and thoughtful if he had put any effort into it and, I don't know, gotten me some different types of flour and a card or something.
Yeah, he brought you some, like, $3 all-purpose flour, but he actually just pulled it out of the cabinet.
Open. I think what
Babe,
you
I got
said
you
is
flour,
it.
A flour, like,
I got
ew.
You flour. Oh, I know. So, what would you have done? What would you have done?
I would have broke up with his ass because that's shitty. I would have been.
Would you have taken the
so
ring he
pissed.
Gave you and been like,
were they already engaged at that point?
They're married.
But when he did that, they were married?
Yeah.
Yeah, get the fuck out, girl. I'm like, girl, get out.
Burn
because
it
here's
down
the
and
thing.
Leave it all behind.
Here's the thing. Like, I told my husband years ago, do not ever buy me flowers on Valentine's Day. I think it's such a waste of money. I'm not a flower girl anyway.
You don't
I've
like
talked
flowers,
about this before.
Yeah, right.
I just think they're a huge waste of money. They're so expensive, but the way they like jack the prices up like so much and it dies. I'm like, I'd rather have like that money towards like thrifting, towards clothes,
yeah,
towards whatever,
yeah.
like that lasts. Like, that's just me, you know? But like, you know, certain ones are beautiful. And yes, of course, like I'll always like take them and receive them. And that's great.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I'm like, don't ever buy me flowers on Valentine's Day like that. We did have a fight our first Valentine's Day together because I think he bought me like red roses. And I was like, I am not a basic bitch. You did not buy me red roses.
Oh, my like, God. I would love that.
Absolutely not. But it was a whole thing. But anyway.
Yeah, it sure was.
I'm saying, well, I personally don't care so much about Valentine's Day in that way. But if you are and your partner knows that and they do that, that's like so disrespectful and shitty. You know what I mean? Like,
I think failed jokes have ruined many a marriage, you know, like a failed like, oh, she's going to love this. I'm putting flour on the Valentine's Day and I'm going to say, hey,
well, if you have a backup gift for sure, that would be funny.
Right.
If you like had that and then you had something for real, that would be funny. But that's really
just
it.
No, I don't
think
it's funny at all.
It's terrible.
I mean, I
terrible.
Used to, when I was single, I would like I hated, you know, I would be in New York on the subway, like looking around Valentine's Day, people being like, you are all pathetic losers. I hate you. And I hate this dumb day. And then I would, you know, I had a boyfriend once who like, I saw him bring home, like it was Valentine's Day. And in like a Rite Aid bag, he had a card that he had to go write. And I like saw it and then he like disappeared and like went and wrote the card and then came back.
Yeah,
and
you can
to me
tell when
like,
somebody puts in zero effort. And like I have had some really amazing
like okay.
gifts on Valentine's Day and like things that, you know, are just like, beautiful displays of love. But show it all year round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that's the thing is like I never want to go to dinner on Valentine's Day. No. I never want flowers on Valentine's Day. I'm like, no. Like I do
you
stuff
know,
for my son.
My husband got us tickets to Amadeus, this play that's near us.
Nice.
And so
that's a nice gift.
That's like my dream. I love theater. So it's like perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll be doing it. We'll be doing that.
I love that. Okay. I have one more quickie.
Okay, great.
Okay. This one comes from Cora, and Shannon Murphy writes, "The bus was packed. I was sitting down when an elderly man got on. I offered him my seat and he accepted. So I got up and he sits down. The bus started to move and I was not ready for it. I wasn't holding on to anything and I fell right back into the man's lap."
Oh, great.
"I got up and I apologized to him. As I'm apologizing, the bus jolts forward and I fall onto him again."
What?
"Only this time I was facing him. My breast completely smothered his face. I should point out, I'm a very busty lady. I start apologizing again while holding the pole beside me for dear life. Thankfully, the man saw the funny side. He said afterwards, 'I feel like I should be paying you for this.' But that didn't make me feel any less embarrassed."
Yeah, seriously.
You're like, ooh, you're like, okay, that creepy old man. But I just think that imagery is so funny to picture her with the bus jolt. And then she's like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And turns around and she's like, smashes her boobs in him. It's just like ridiculous.
The idea of just like a nice old man's face just getting like smothered in these, like this lady's boobs is really funny.
Yeah. She like motorboated him on the bus. It's good times.
Motorboating on the bus.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, we want to hear it at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in the show notes. And if you can't beat them, join them.
See you next week.